The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land where you go to possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, you shall smite them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. You know, God would be arrested and charged and convicted of a hate crime if he were in America today. Shows you how perverted some of our laws are. You know, I guess it never occurred to God that he needed to be tolerant with those who revel in their lewd and libertine lifestyle. You know, God gave these people in the Promised Land 430 years to repent, but they refused. So, don't waste your breath telling me how unfair God is. 3. Neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughters you shall not give unto his son, nor his son shall you take unto your son. I should say, his daughter shall you take unto his son. Verse 4, for they will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. Evil is like yeast, because a little dab quickly spreads and corrupts everything. Marrying someone who isn't sold out to God is like putting a piece of spiritual yeast in your soul. And just notice verse 4 again. God says, for they will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. God says, Israel, I'm warning you in advance, because if you corrupt yourself, I'm going to punish you. Just like I'm going to punish them right now. 5. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. Anything that would arouse even the slightest temptation was to be cut down and tossed. Everything that would in any way make them even curious about evil was to be cut down, burned, and destroyed. Verse 6. For you are an holy people unto the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people unto himself, above all people who are upon the face of the earth. The word chosen means to be chosen to do something for God or to be something for God. And Israel was chosen to be holy. Israel was chosen to be holy so that they could make a statement to the heathen pagan world that there is a true God and reveal what he's like. So it was very important that they represent God the correct way. 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were fewest of all people. No Israelite was ever to look in the mirror and say, man, you are irresistible. You must be. No wonder God chose you. Because that's not it at all. Israel didn't deserve a single thing. They were merely the object of God's grace. verse 8, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God's love isn't motivated by any goodness or any beauty in the object of his love. God just chooses to love, and so he loves, and that's just the way it is. God chose Israel because he loved them, and because he promised their ancestors that he would. Verse 9, know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations means forever. Man hasn't even been around for 1,000 generations. Just a word that means forever. So God kept his promise to Abraham because he never goes back on his word. That's the point. 10. And, here's the flip side, repays them who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command you this day to do them. And while it is true that Israel is God's chosen nation, there's no question about that, that doesn't give anyone a license to go wild in sin. Because God says, if you hate me, I'll deal with it, and I'll deal with you, and you can count on that. Verse 12, wherefore, it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord your God shall keep unto you the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto your fathers. God would never look for a loophole in the covenant so that he could get out of it. His covenant with Israel is forever. But the Israelites could lose the blessings of that covenant if they would choose to rebel. 13. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your corn and your wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the flocks of your sheep in the land which he swore unto your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which you know, upon you, but will lay them upon all them who hate you. If Israel obeys, they will experience fertility, and that means good things. Just an example of wider blessing. And when God says fertility, he means good things are going to multiply and bad things will drain away. Things that bring joy will increase. Things that bring sadness will decrease. 16, and you shall consume all the people which the Lord your God shall deliver you. Your eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto you. The moment they started feeling sorry for those vile, impenitent, filthy sinners, the moment they sense themselves doing that, they need to shift gears and think about something else in a hurry. Sentimentalism wasn't to govern their treatment of the Canaanites, or one thing would lead to another, and before you know it, the Israelites themselves would be ruined. you want to be sentimental toward impenitent sinners and say, oh, that's okay, and hang out with them because they need a friend. That'll drag you right down. That's like having pity on a rabid puppy. Oh, they're so cute. Oh, yeah. But they'll kill you. 17. If you shall say in your heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but shall well remember that the Lord your God did unto Pharaoh, what the Lord your God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which your eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do unto all the people of whom you are afraid. Moses knew these people like the back of his hand. He knew they were inclined to focus on obstacles instead of on the God who's running this whole thing. God doesn't want us to concentrate on the bigness of our problems. He wants us to concentrate on the greatness of our Lord God, the Almighty. 20. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until they who are left and hide themselves from you be destroyed. God will cause Israel's enemies to run and panic as if they were being attacked by a swarm of hornets. And you know what? Maybe they would be. And I don't have any reason to think that God is speaking figuratively here, but I do remember one time we lived right in front of a little woods when I was growing up, and there was this fella, he was, I think, 4 years older than me. We were in the woods, and he got himself caught up in a hornet's nest, and holy man, I can still remember him spinning and swiping with his hands and saying, owie, 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 owie. He was probably about 9 years old, maybe 10 years old at the time. I will never forget that, because I'll never forget what it looks like to be under attack by a swarm of hornets. You're not much good to yourself or anybody else when that's happening, believe me. It's hard to hide from a hornet. But it's even harder to hide from God once he decides to punish. 21. You shall not be affrighted at them, for the Lord your God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. 22. And the Lord your God will put out those nations before you by little and little. You may not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon you. God would drive out the enemy, but not in a haphazard, ill-conceived flurry of mindless attacks. God always operates in a systematic, carefully thought-out manner that is best for his children, which is why he doesn't always grant us the answers to our prayers immediately. Verse 23. But the Lord your God shall deliver them unto you and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. So it would take a while and it would require some patience, but God would bring the victory to his people over their enemies in his good time, in the right way. Verse 24. And he shall deliver their kings into your hand, and you shall destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before you until you have destroyed them. God's plan would go forward, and no one would stop Israel until that plan was completed. And here's the lesson for us. When the heat is on, it's good to remember that you can't lose if you hang in there with God. You can't lose, you won't lose if you don't quit. 25. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. You shall not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto you, lest you be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Neither shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be a cursed thing like it. But you shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Some of that plunder, some of those goods, is going to look mighty appealing to Israel when they conquer their enemies, but they were to exercise discipline and self-control and get rid of it all. Because God said, if you don't, it's going to trap you in sin. Reminds me of our Lord's words when he said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Cut it off and cast it away, because you're better off going to heaven with only one hand than you are going to hell with two. Some things we just can't handle, and we shouldn't have them in our life.